The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
And we're moving to the issue of the absence of public transport in rural Ireland, exemplified by research that a fifth of towns and villages in County Limerick have no public transport whatsoever. So, for example, there's no bus service in one village of 369 people, and where almost a quarter of the households don't own a town. Likewise, a fifth of the people in Kilfinan don't own a car, yet there is a... There is a very low level of public transport provision to service the village of 789 people. With us, we're joined by Fine Gael Limerick County Councillor Liam Galvin. Liam, in the research that was done, in the study that was done, the researcher Thomas Bibby found one statistic that I thought was very striking. 60% of the households in the areas without the public transport or with limited public transport, 60% of them wouldn't be able to make an average work start time in Limerick City if they relied entirely on public transport. That's an awful indictment, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. You know, and I certainly am not surprised with that. You know, from the rural part of County Limerick that I come from, I must say that certainly there is a good bus service in the town of Abbeyfield. And that's along the N21 heading from Newcastle West, a good bus service going along that route. However, the villages surrounding the larger towns, and I'm thinking specifically of the Mount Collins, the Tuna Fullers, the RTAs, the Kinmedias, and all these smaller rural villages that are surrounding these larger towns, the public transport is non-existent. It is absolutely non-existent. And, you know, to hear that, you know, our expectations are to raise the public transport and give public transport to all these remote rural villages. To me, it's, well, I don't think it's going to happen. That's my honest opinion, and I think we need to be fair, you know, with this. Number one, the roads aren't fit for a lot of these larger buses that go in and out of the towns. But it is sad. It is sad, and I think the real way around this, and we need to be careful also that we don't take businesses from... take business from the smaller businesses in the rural villages. What do I mean by that is, if we provide a bus service from a village into a larger town, well, then we're taking the business from the small shop that is in the village, if they are there. So that needs to be examined.
But the corollary of that is, if you don't have the bus taking people from the village to earn the money to spend in the shop in the town, you have an even bigger problem.
Absolutely. Look, and the people living in the villages that I'm after naming out there, you know, they're well used, and we're well used to where I grew up myself. We have no bus service, I can assure you that. We were well used to when we were young. We had to cycle to work, you know, walk to work. And, you know, nowadays we drive our car to work. And that is, you know, the way the people have, you know, we say got around in those villages. You know, above inside in the city where you can hop on a train, you can hop on a bus, you can get into a taxi. Another thing that's, you know, not to be seen in rural Limerick is a taxi. You know, they're just not there.
Liam, in a context where we are telling people that they need to cut down on their journeys. We literally only this morning it was being reported requests for people not to take short journeys in their car so that we can meet our carbon targets. So why is it acceptable that rural Ireland would be told, well, this doesn't apply to you, you're effectively abandoned when it comes to public transport?
Absolutely. And look, there's one party, there is one political party that's coming out with that, and I would call it waffle, to be quite honest about it. I mean, that is nonsensical talk until such time as there is, you know, the resources are put in place. What do I mean by that? I mean, the bus services need to be put in place. How can we expect people to get to work if they're in the bus service there if we don't want them to drive? You know, you can't expect people to walk 25 or 6 or 7 miles to work morning and evening. That day is certainly and truly gone. You know, the picking up of children, the dropping children to music and dropping children to the J fields and soccer fields and rugby fields, all that needs to be done. However, you know, if we are to be realistic about a public bus service, you know, we'd need a bus service in every village in Ireland. And that, you know, is that going to happen? Realistically not, unless we get the private companies in and ask the private companies, can they give a bus service from a village in the morning and the evening? That is the only way around this, and that's the only solution to it. But well, realistically speaking, I can't see anything happening in remote rural Ireland for a length of time.
We're joined as well by Independent Kerry TD Michael Healy-Ray, because of course this research pertained to Limerick County, but the issue pertains across towns and villages all the way around the country. Michael Healy-Ray, would you share Liam's pessimism at the likelihood of this ever being solved?
Well, I don't like to be pessimistic about anything, because the way I look on problems and issues is we all have to work together to try and improve situations. But the government have an awful habit of just rushing along and doing something without realising the consequences. For example, if you send people into a locality to live, you have to ensure that the basics are there for them. Transport, medical care, and to take care of their medical needs, both medical for instance, dentistry. Also, education. There has to be room in the local schools. But you can't just say to 10 or to 20 or to 50 or 300 people, well, there you go now, we hope this works out. Because if the local person who has lived in that area has a difficulty in getting a bus to go from A to B, if they have difficulty in getting on with a local doctor because the doctor is taking no more patients, well, how in the name of goodness are you supposed to cater for new people then that you send in there as a government? But this government, and I'm not a critical person, as you know, if I see the government doing something good, I'll say it. But they have an awful habit of doing this. Other examples are telling us all that we won't be able to buy diesel or petrol cars after 2030, knowing in their hearts and souls that if we keep going the way we're going, we haven't a hope of reaching that target. It's like telling us, we won't produce any more briquettes in Ireland, but instead we'll happily import them from Germany. It's to make us look good, short term, they make these announcements, but they don't follow through then.
The difficulty, of course, though, with the bus service is, there is a limited supply of available money that has to be paid for everything, whether it be social welfare, whether it be the health system, whether it be the justice system, guards on the beat, all of that. And the reality is that a rural bus service isn't going to be profit-making, so the only way you can do it is through some kind of public service obligation, which could cost a fortune.
Yes, and of course, PSOs do cost a fortune. And what you were just saying there about realising the enormity of paying for everything on a regular enough basis, the Minister for Finance comes to give talks and answer questions on an Oireachtas committee, of which I'm a member. And I appreciate very much the work that the Minister for Finance is doing. And yes, we have to balance the books and we have to balance the budget. And there are an awful lot of strains on that budget now that mightn't have been there in the past. But the carbon taxes have to be paid by people, real people on the ground. I have my own way of judging finances in my head, and I call it mom's purse. A late friend of mine, Bernard Collins, he always used that terminology, mom's purse. And if all is not well with mom's purse, well, all is not well in the world or in the country then. And at the moment, mom's purse is under severe strain, quite simply because of an awful lot of moves that are made by government, and those moves are the carbon taxes. Now, I know this debate is not we're discussing that, but it's to do with finance, and that also has to do with local services.
Well, to pick up on mom's purse, there's a text relating to it saying, as long as councillors and TDs insist on fighting for houses up every boreen and at the furthest extremity of every peninsula, this is the situation. You cannot spread equal public services across the entire country. We have to plan properly and build sustainable communities.
And my answer to that is that person so saying driving everybody into urban areas? Is that the right question? If you have a young couple who have the wherewithal, which would actually be a miracle at the moment, but if they had the wherewithal, if they were getting a site at home on a family farm or land that was owned by their relatives, and if they had the wherewithal to get a loan from a bank and build their own house, surely be to God we should encourage people that are able to provide their own housing solution to their own housing need. We should not only encourage it, we should help that and assist it in every way possible.
Except what the planners will say is that if you do that, you cause these kind of problems. You end up in a situation where you don't have vibrant villages and towns because people are dispersed out into the hinterland rather than living together as a community, and you can't run the kind of public services that you've been describing because people can't walk to the doctors or they can't get a bus that can reliably pick up a cohort of people instead of being miles up the local hill or field.
Didn't we do it before? In Ireland, when our population was far greater than what it is today, we had clans. In other words, they were like small villages. You could have 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 houses in the real remote country.
That was 1842, though, Michael.
But those people, all right. Last week, a friend of mine went to Sweden, visiting his brother. And he educated me over the weekend as to how people live there. And he was giving an example of an island which would be the very same as Vilinch Island, for example. and the population that is living there. There are thousands of people living on that island. It is not serviced by a bridge. It's a ferry service, and the houses are located very near to each other, and those people are living and existing there. That wouldn't be allowed here at all, because they'd say they were damaging the environment. And our environmentalist lobby would say, oh, not at all, this is an outrage, we can't allow people to build in those type of places. People lived in the countryside very happily and very successfully, and they reared great children in those type of locations. And it's like everything. It's like the late Michael O'Connor, who sadly died here at the age of 108. He's being buried the day after tomorrow. And he always said, everything in moderation. Now, the moderation seems to be gone out the window. When it comes to planning, there seems to be this awful thing about put them all into the villages, all into the towns. What about all the social problems that are created because of that? Surely be to God, it's all about balance. If a certain amount of people, it's not for everybody because they can't do it, they mightn't have the land, or they mightn't be able to afford to get the finance to build their own property. But if people can build for themselves, sure, any young couple today building a house, it's actually a medal they'd want, and not to have obstacles put in their way. They'd want to be encouraged and helped along the way in every way they could. And if there are people who can't, yes, of course, then local authority funding to provide housing for them in built-up areas, that's the other option.
I think,
but
Michael,
balance.
Indeed, there's a bit of support for your balance and moderation coming in by text saying, subsidise the routes that need it. You don't need to privatise everything. You don't need a big bus if a small minibus will do. It doesn't need to be every day, maybe twice a day midweek, once in, once out, or at least one day a week for a weekly shopper. Public transport is a service. It serves business as well as community. Big thank you to Michael Healy-Ray, Kerry TD, Independent Kerry TD, and of course, Liam Galvin, Fine Gael, Limerick County.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.